This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam, known Leagues Cup fan since the very beginning.
Gotta tell you, I've always liked Leagues Cup.
Same.
It's the greatest tournament in the world. We've always loved it.
Leagues Cup supporters, Bone and Beam United.
Yeah. I feel very presidential when I say this. Like, they're great. I've always loved them. I feel like that's where we're headed.
It's the best as they've ever been. Best to do it.
Yeah. I hated them. Oh, wait. They said something nice about me. I love them now. Leagues Cup.
Let's go to Pirates of the Caribbean.
The greatest tournament, the Leagues Cup. Everyone says it's great. Anyway, so we will talk about the Columbus Crew back in a league. Well, I was going to say a League Cup final. A cup final. They're back in a cup final.
It's the first time we've ever been to this final.
First time for this one. Third time since December. Yeah. That the Crew have been in a cup final.
Second time you're going to play the same team.
No kidding. So lots of angles there. We'll get into all that. We did not talk about the new man at the top of U.S. men's soccer, and that is Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah, I was going to do a podcast last week. Short, long story short, I burnt my foot pretty good, and I was not in any like mental capacity to do a show.
Burn it on the hot microphone in the studio. You did. You were telling me about that ordeal. I think you got second degree burns, buddy.
I mean, I think at least. I mean, my skin is still ripped off.
Ugh.
I spilled a boiling hot pan of water. Ugh. I was making dinner. So that was fun. I mean, going 2 feet from the stovetop to the sink, condensation on the pot handle, slipped out of my left hand, right on my feet. So that's good. Ran outside. Luckily, I was wearing like shoes and socks, so I felt like that offered me some protection, maybe a little bit. So I immediately like run to the bathroom after that. I'm like, Mare, she goes, what happened? Because I ran outside screaming.
Yeah, you know?
So I'm like, she's like, what happened? I said, I burnt water and noodles. Like, you're just going to clean this up. She goes, all right, take William with him. So thankfully, William or Theo or her weren't in the kitchen. Like,
yeah, right,
that
sure.
Been a disaster.
Yeah.
Turn the corner, William's standing there, and he's learning a lot right now. And he's like seeing all the pasta that's on the ground. He turns the corner as I'm getting ready to like go into the bathroom with him to like take him away from it. And he turns the corner. He just goes, noodles, noodles. And I was like, I'm in severe pain, but damn it, that was funny.
It's funny because I listen to a lot of bands where I feel like that would be part of their song. They would just be like a breakdown. They would be like, noodles. And then like back into it, they would go. Yeah, that's good.
So that's why there was no podcast last week,
because
I was in pretty severe pain.
You know what, though? We can, at least now, we have time to properly cover that story, too. Not your foot being burnt, but the paunch stuff. So we'll talk about that. The Premier League started up.
Yep.
And so we'll get into a little bit of how the first week went. And there is some love for a former Crew player all over England. And I think you're going to keep hearing this for a while, because that guy, Aidan Morris, pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Happy belated birthday, by the way. No, you celebrated a big one last week.
Yeah, last week was 42. So I don't know. There was no correlation to this. It just so happened that there were a bunch of concerts last week that I had already bought. I bought tickets at like different times for like this band's coming to town, that band's coming to town. And suddenly it became I had 4 concerts in like 9 days.
Wow.
So, yeah. So a lot of fun. Blink-182 was part of that. Them and Pierce the Veil, which I'd never seen Pierce the Veil live. Very good live.
Did you go with Tim?
Yeah. We just got tickets from the station. Those ones were free. I'm not going to lie. Those were free, but they were upstairs. So I paid my price. I was nowhere close. I saw dots that were representing the members of Blink-182.
Yes.
Those, but it was fun.
That
it was
looks
a good
to be
time.
Travis Barker down there.
You know what though? It was fun. Cause Timmy is, I know, Beamer, you listen to some heavier stuff.
Yeah.
I like a lot of heavy music.
I like Blink.
Yeah. And Blink's like not heavy, but they're pop punk kind of thing, which is a little bit, you know, faster paced for some people. But Pierce the Veil was a little more of that screamo metalcore kind of stuff. And Timmy was there, and he, to him, Deftones is like as heavy as he goes. Okay. And I love the Deftones, but that's to me like casual listening when I'm trying to chill out.
Yeah.
That's not heavy to me. It's heavy, but it's not
crazy.
I know
what you mean. Yeah.
And so he was watching Pierce the Veil, and he's like, that's the wildest thing I've ever seen. And I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to take – I got to take him to, like, Ace of Cups or something for a real metal show. Like, I got to get him in there into the pit.
God love. We need to get him out in the world more.
I know. Well, you know what, though? He's living his life. They were in Vancouver. They were out – I don't know. They went to Seattle and Vancouver. So they were, like, all up and down the West
Coast. Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Nice. They were having a good time. So they get out. He just – And it was good, though, because his
listening
son...
Listening to Billy Joel.
Yes. His son, Jack, was apparently, like, very high on the Pierce the Veil stuff after it
good.
Happened. So I was like, okay.
That's the perfect age. See, what is he, sixth grade, seventh grade?
Yeah, right.
That's the sweet spot.
That's right where we all started listening to this stuff, where it's like, oh, look, someone's screaming about their feelings and how much girls sometimes let them down or people let them down, and they're just sad about it, and they want to let them, you know, like that, yeah. That's exactly where I started listening
to
this
stuff.
I still
feel that way when I just get into my car after work sometimes.
The amount of times, like, I have had to, or, like, for me, it's sometimes I get off the, like, a phone call with members of my extended family where I'm just, like, biting my tongue throughout the conversation and be like, okay, oh, that seems
all right,
like,
yep,
that seems pretty horrible. All right, well, okay, gotta go. And then I just immediately flip on them, like, here we go. Rage Against the Machine sounds like a good time right now. Therapy? What?
No.
No, someday soon.
Let me just eat my feelings. Never
eat and listen to them. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Never bring them up.
That's what I'm doing right now. All right, so here's something we can't talk about that gets us all feeling good. That is the Columbus Crew. They rout the Philadelphia Union 3-1 to establish their firm foothold as the greatest MLS team of the last at least 18 months. Sorry, LAFC, if you want that. I mean, I'm saying, like, in the league, who's been better? No one's been better in the league.
No.
We had the head-to-head with LAFC.
Cincinnati fans would argue that they've been better in the league.
Yeah, that's they can argue that all they want. They haven't done it when it mattered, when they actually push comes to shove.
I was just saying, from a perspective, they argue that they got a shield.
I'm not going to argue with them.
Okay.
Congratulations on being good at the thing no one cares about. Congrats. Way to go.
How many trophies have you played for in the last 18 months?
That's exactly right.
We have a shield.
We have a shield. Yeah, I love the shield. I think the shield's great. But you know what? I love it when my team wins it. I'd much rather have MLS Cup, though. That's what I care about, because that's the one that everyone – that's the one that gets you all the banners and everything.
You know what? I think you're underselling League's Cup.
Well, you know what? I am now. Now I was underselling it. No longer will I do that. This LAFC rematch is going to be pretty good. It looks – this. So the rematch is Sunday, just to get that out of the way.
7:15.
Yep. Is it 7:15, 7:30?
Yes, 7:15.
Okay.
It says 7:15.
Oh, it does say, you know what?
Kick,
it does say 7:15.
But I'm guessing it's a 7:30 kick
just the way
that they delay these games.
Tickets, by the time you hear this, tickets will probably be on sale and or I don't know if they'll be sold out. I don't know how this is going to go, because attendance for these matches has not been as high as one would want it to be. But this is a final. LAFC fans are very familiar with coming to Columbus for MLS Cup. Now, are they going to put that all together on like 3 or 4 days notice? I don't know if they're going to be willing. I don't know if their fans are going to travel for that. However, their motivation is going to be very high, given that they're going to come back to the scene of the crime, or whatever you want to call it, their decimation last year. So they're going to want revenge. I could see a decent number of LAFC fans trying to snag tickets.
Not as many as were at the Cup Final last year.
No. But I could also see a lot of Crew fans who maybe haven't really cared much about League's Cup going, you know what? It's time to care.
Like us.
Yeah, exactly right. I have no idea what the prices are for these things, but just remember this is an MLS-controlled cup final.
And League MX.
Well, yes, but jointly they control this, just like MLS-controlled MLS Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think there's going to be, like I already saw, like the general on sale was, if you're listening to this, it's already happened, but for us it's in the future, Thursday at 3 p.m. And I'm guessing that, as I'm saying these words, there are tickets being bought by people who have like an Audi code or they're like a league sponsor code. Yeah. Remember how that went with MLS Cup where
that
debacle. So let's hope it's not that crazy for getting tickets if you want to go to this. But as far as the actual on the field play here, we have to start with Diego Rossi. And Beam, I think both of us at times last year, I know I certainly did, I kind of thought, before the playoffs last year, I was not a huge Rossi fan.
Let's go back to that time, though. All right, because the move that you made was that you moved off of Lucas Ellerion. Uh-huh. And nobody blamed Lucas. If you want to go over to the Saudi Pro League and get your money, that's what it was about for him. Like, we love Lucas, right? I mean, yeah. Club legend for what he did in his short period here in Columbus. And it was, you pair getting rid of him, you pair adding Diego Rossi to kind of replace him, coming over from Turkey, right? I mean, came back from Turkey, had to get a foothold back in the league and the way that it played. But you did see at points in time last year in the run-up to the Cup, like, oh, okay, like, this is what he can do. It just wasn't at a consistent enough level. And that's always tricky, bringing guys in at that point of the season anyways. Now, Diego Rossi was very familiar with MLS, was the youngest Golden Boot winner, right, in league history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he knew the league, but it just took him a while. And so I feel like when you're going from playing out in LA, then you go from playing in Turkey, then you come back to Columbus, it's like, yeah, it's going to take some time for us to kind of navigate this situation. And so I think underwhelmed would be the word that I would use for him last year when he came in. Now, again, he had his great spots in the playoffs and made us eat our words.
Well, that was where I was going to say, for me in the playoffs, it did turn, because I started seeing, like, the work rate that he was putting in. And you saw, like, the running was kind of always there, but there were just times where
he'd be running to run.
Yeah, and he was out of place. It didn't seem like he understood where a good spot would be. Mm-hmm. Those days are long gone. The amount of understanding that he has with Wilfried Nancy's system, Nancy being able to communicate what he wants, and then, and I don't want to, this all has to go together, like, Cucho being able to play off of him, and I know, like,
and then play off of Christian Ramirez too. Like, yeah, I like this.
I love it, man. The way that these guys seem to get along, and it doesn't seem, I mean, I'm sure if you sat them down and got them on Truth Serum or something, they would all say, I'd like to be the one scoring all the goals, please. But the reality is, everyone who's pragmatic about sports knows that's not possible. You can't be the one scoring all your team's points all the time. Whatever the sport is, you have to have other guys be successful. And right now, Diego Rossi, I mean, he has 6 goals in 3 League's Cup games. Mm-hmm. 6 goals in 3 games. Even if he goes scoreless in the final, that's 6 goals in 4 games. I'm still taking that every time. This guy has been unreal, and it's not like he's scoring them all the same. I mean, he's getting...
Put in a header last night.
Put in a header.
Off a redirect.
Right. I mean, like, he is scoring goals, and... Thank goodness, right? I mean, Philadelphia's keeper was not having his best night.
Yeah, had a couple of them that he all went back.
Yeah.
One, the first Rossi goal, and then the Cucho goal at the end.
Yeah,
at the end, like, but at the beginning of the second half, last goal.
Just juicy rebounds. I thought I was watching the Blue Jackets for a second, watching their goaltending, because that's usually how the Jackets are, just living big, fat rebounds right there in the crease for you. But that's, hey, good for the crew for capitalizing on it. But Rossi played a tremendous game yet again. But Cucho, I think it all has to go together, right? Cucho, Nancy, the whole...
Darlington. You
know, yeah, the whole system here, being able to get the ball to these guys in dangerous spaces and get them in situations where they have a chance to make guys pay. Like, that's
I love seeing last night, and I know that we're talking about Diego Rossi, like, just the fearlessness of Max Arfston, because there was a play last night where the defense broke down for Philly. He's on that left wing. I mean, he's coming down. I think he's got Christian Ramirez maybe crashing, or maybe it was Cucho. Maybe Ramirez was running close. No, it was Rossi running close. And then both of them are blonde now. I can't tell the difference sometime on the TV angle. It was either Cucho or Christian Ramirez who's running in the far post and who's literally cutting across, like, the 6-yard box, making a, like, direct run. And Max Arfston. Arfston puts it wide, well wide. I mean, the shot result ends in a throw-in, so, like, it wasn't even close to going in. But just the fact that now you have a guy like Max Arfston who's like, you know what? I've got Diego Rossi, who is the hottest player in this tournament. I have either Cucho or Christian Ramirez cutting in here. I'm just going to go ahead, and I feel confident enough in my abilities to put it in. Again, he missed that shot, but that's just, I feel like the way that everybody's playing and the confidence that they are exuding is something that, again, we have been enjoying. We have told you to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it's really, it's pretty spectacular.
It's not something that you see every day. What, there's the Office quote, I think. I forget if it's Andy who says it, where it's something to the effect of, I wish they could tell you, like, when the good old days, when you're living in the good old days before they've gone. And, like, that's, we are living in the days that 20 years from now we will be talking about, not as if it's, I hope it's not the only one of them, but, I mean, that 2008 season that everybody who's of my vintage of crew fandom, right, that was there for that, we all used to say that about, 2015 when the crew went but didn't win MLS Cup. We were like, man, this team's really good. wish you could have seen what it was like in 2008. This team was, you know, they just had a little bit of a different instinct at the end of games that was slightly different than this. I'm telling you right now, this is the best crew team I have ever seen. And I've seen just about all of them. Every iteration going back to Ohio Stadium, this is the best version of the Columbus Crew I have ever seen. It's one of the best three or four MLS teams in the history of MLS that I've ever seen. That's how good this team is. And I'm not trying to oversell it, but this, whatever you want to say, since Lucas El Rayon got here,
yeah,
this stretch, I'll include a lot of that, right? But like that stretch of time, last 4 or 5 years here now, I guess is really what we're talking about. The post Greg Berhalter era, it's been some of the greatest soccer I've ever seen in Columbus.
Different,
bar none.
Different scopes of the soccer playing as well, like different styles. You know, well, obviously you had the Caleb era, which was much different to the eyeballs.
And we saw how bad that was at some point.
Yeah,
but
it was pragmatic. It was pragmatic when it was working.
Yeah, but you know what? There were a couple constants throughout all of that. Well, there was one constant really through that pretty much that entire thing. Darlington Nagbe,
yeah,
right? Like he's been one of those guys that's been here for all of that time period. And I don't think you can understate how good he's been. Darlington Nagbe being right next to Aiden Morris for most of Aiden Morris. I know Aiden Morris's start against Seattle in MLS Cup, there was no Darlington Nagbe. That's why he got to play.
Mm-hmm.
But like getting those two to get to play together for all the years they did, I think that has benefited Aiden Morris clearly to the level that now he's off gone to England and doing great things over there so far. But it like this core group, that's a lot of those numbers and names have been changed, right? But this having Nagbe here and having this front office that was able to put all this together, it's been quite a thing.
I'll tell you from last night, so we're watching the game, Kerr up 1-0, Philly score. Like, right? They tie the game up at one apiece, and Meredith, who I would say watches most of the games, didn't stay up late, like won't watch like the games that kick off on the West Coast at like 10:30. But I mean, we watch every weekend. Sure. We haven't been out to a game this year, so we need to get that done. It's tough with a kid at 7:30 to go.
I totally understand.
And so last night Philadelphia scored. She goes, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like there was no panic. She's like, we'll get one, maybe probably two, like later in the game. And then Rossi scored again. And then Cucho scored again, and she goes, I'm going to go to bed now. Yeah. Like, this game's
it's
over.
Like, it's like they put it to bed.
Like, already, I mean, watching, you know, as much crew as I do and as watching as much as she does, like, you know, if you watch this team just a little bit, like, if you watched every game for a month, you'd be like, okay, 3-1. Like, that,
yeah.
In many a cases, a 3-1 lead, like, that's very dangerous in any building, in any, you know, league in the world. You come in here, you go down 3-1, like you're just, there's no way. You're not doing it. You're not coming back.
No. And I will say, as we talked about Leagues Cup, it is not my favorite thing. I don't like that this thing exists, all that stuff. But if you're going to get this far in the tournament, might as well win the damn thing, right?
Yeah.
And so watching this team play has been just phenomenal. I can understand, though, if the LAFC fans, they look at their team and they say, we equally can lay a lot of claims to a lot of stuff you're saying, because they have won an MLS Cup here in the last few years. They have had a tremendous run of play throughout the regular season and, of course, have been to some cup finals, as I previously discussed. Here's what you're going to see from them, because if you didn't see the other game on the West Coast,
smashed.
They destroyed Colorado 4-0, I think. Yeah, the Pids are playing for third place now.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the fact they have a third place game for this is
cup?
So
dumb.
Lame.
Dumb.
So dumb. But whatever, they have it. So if you want to watch,
you know who's
Philly
not in
and Colorado,
it, you cares about it, me.
That's
don't
right.
Care about it.
But that Colorado game, it could have been Zach Steffen coming back here, which would have been highly awkward or whatever.
It would have been great.
It would have been, but you know what I mean? Like, it would be this guy that we all really enjoyed and rooted for would now be coming back, and we'd be rooting against him, and we'd want to see him fail. It didn't happen because his defense in front of him last night decided it was good to just leave guys wide open as they just tracked through. Denny Bouanga, we have talked about him. You remember him, obviously, from last year. He was the Golden Boot winner in MLS last year. They still have him. He's still scoring goals for them. He is still prodigious, so you're going to have to track him yet again and shut him down yet again. That is going to be a tall task. Now he's got some added firepower next to him. A young man by the name of Olivier Giroud is now also prowling the back line of opposing
France's
teams.
France's all-time leading scorer, I believe.
Yeah, That's who's coming.
Not, Mbappe just took him down, but
well, whatever. I mean, it's he's in the top. He's on the Mount Rushmore of goal scorers for a legendary soccer country in France. So, yeah, he subbed in the second half of their game against Colorado. Did not score in that game. You know who did, and who actually subbed off for him? Crew legend, MLS legend, Kai Kamara.
Really?
He scored a goal in the game against Colorado. So, don't get me wrong. Kai Kamara has his faults. Kai Kamara will blow up your locker room. Kai Kamara is not a guy that I think is ever going to last more than like a year or two at any spot. This is also a guy who's been playing soccer for so many years in this league, and he still knows how to find the back of the net.
Yeah.
Now, the one he got yesterday in this game for Colorado, against Colorado, playing with the LAFC, I mean, if you missed it, you should be instantly fired from the league. He was running free. Not free, but there was just a huge gap in the defense. He was about 10 yards from the goal. They played him a square ball, Hollingshead did, that went like right to him. No defenders were coming at him. He had clear view, keepers all out of position, and he just, you know, didn't miss the shot that you shouldn't miss when you're that close.
He did what he needed to do.
Yeah. But the fact that he's there, the defense is being pulled all over the place, that don't sleep on Kai Kamara having a big game, knowing that he's played against.
Now that's a guy you can cheer against.
The one thing I think with Kai Kamara is, I was going to say, like, he'll have some motivation to go against his old team.
I mean,
but it's
when
like,
he was here, though, I loved him.
I did, too.
I liked him a lot.
Of course. He's your guy when he's on your team, but then when he leaves, you're rooting. Yeah. But
every team has one of those guys.
Well, that guy's been Kai Kamara on almost every team at some point. Yeah. I was going to say his motivation to come in and be like, I got to show Columbus. It's like, and the other 15 teams you play for, like every game he plays, it's like, oh, motivation. Because he's played for all these teams. But yeah, that's that LAFC team is no joke.
Yeah, they're good.
It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be
a home fun
game.
It's at home.
It's at home. That
we're going to win.
I feel very confident like you do. I feel very strongly that this team.
3-1 final.
Wow. All right. You know what? Yeah, I don't like the 2-1 scoreline from MLS Cup. I want a bigger win. I mean the one we had against them earlier this year, what was that, like 5-1 or something? We destroyed them. Remember
Kicked
that?
Their ass, yeah.
Went to LA.
Yeah.
And just decimated
the hell out
them.
Of them.
No, they hadn't lost it, or maybe they'd like one or two losses in the last like 18 months or something at home, and then we just went in and said night-night. Little Steph Curry action.
Trying to put
them.
A 3-0.
I like that.
3-0 since last December on the season series.
I like that. I like that a lot. So just whatever the scoreline is, get it done, win the game.
Why not 5-1 this time, too? Just make it a party.
Early and often.
Send Will Ferrell packing back the gas works early.
Do you think he's coming for this? Or is he like, I'm sorry. I've
Dong might fly him out on the PJ to be here.
Yeah, I could. That's probably, well, you know. I did. There was an article today. Written by their writer for MLS.com, who probably is like assigned to cover LAFC. But in the article, I was kind of looking through it, and he had, you know, the black and gold, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. I don't care that they actually have a shade of the yellowish, goldish that is a little more true to the actual hue of gold.
Yeah.
One team was already called this. It's been established. You come up with other names. That's like if someone came into the league and was like in the NBA and they're like, this guy jumps really high. How about we call him His Airness? No.
Or
that's
the Jumpman.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
How about we call him Air Jordan? His first name's Jordan. No. Michael Jordan has all those nicknames. Find other nicknames. King James. No, that's LeBron. LeBron has that. That's him.
Also a king in England, multiple iterations. Well, but. This is a different sport.
There was
a book.
I do believe there was a book that he commissioned. I may have read it a time or two in my youth.
And Denzel Washington was really good in that movie where he was trying to protect it.
Oh,
and it was all in Braille.
Oh.
There's a spoiler alert.
Oh, no! You spoiled it! Book of Eli.
Great
watch it.
Great
Don't
movie.
Watch it now.
Great movie. Well, you can watch it. You just know the ending.
You've ruined it.
My mind was blown. I'm like, he's blind the
whole
time.
It's one of the greatest twists in movie history. You just ruined it for everybody.
It's 15 years old.
Well, fair enough. You know what? Some people don't get around to things, Beam.
That's true.
Some people are procrastinators.
Have you ever seen it?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, I did. I saw
it
in the theater.
I didn't want to spoil it for you.
No. I saw it in the theater and had equally the same reactions you did. You didn't spoil it for me. Don't worry. We'll come back. We'll talk about the new man at the helm for the U.S. men's national team. That's next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can always always tweet the show at Bone Beam United. Our Twitter handle is there. Our X handle, whatever people are calling it. I'll never call it X. I'll call it Twitter. Probably till it ends being a website.
Yes, me too.
So we all go down into the fiery flames and wreckage of that godforsaken hellhole. But I will be calling it Twitter until that
day. I'm addicted to it. I can't quit it.
I know. I'm the same way. I'm the same way. We got hooked in early and we're just stuck there.
Yeah.
So plenty to get to here, but let's talk about it. The news from last week. I had a bunch of people messaging me, like just friends who were saying, how should I feel about this guy? Is he any good?
Is this a big deal?
Is Mauricio Pochettino taking the U.S. men's national team job a big deal? And I would like to say, I think most people listening to this show don't need an answer to that question because you know the level that this guy has been managing at. You know the name. The big question we had was, is U.S. soccer going to go, hey, let's find someone else who's like played for the U.S. national team?
Or Steve Cherundolo.
That was the worry, right? Was they were going to go with another MLS coach or something like that. They went out and got a guy who has a level of international experience and respect that I think is money can't buy. You can have all the U.S. soccer ties you want. There's just something to be said about managing some of the biggest teams and biggest players in the world. Mauricio Pochettino has done that. He has won at very high levels. Now, we also know as Premier League fans, his failures.
Yes.
You have seen how it goes when it doesn't go well. But
failed at PSG.
Yeah.
With a loaded team.
Famously. Yeah. Yes. And I would say that despite the fact that maybe he has had, you know, as most, if you're not Sir Alex and if you're not Zinedine Zidane, well, anybody who manages basically Real Madrid.
Yeah.
There's like a handful of managers. Pep is one who have been able to, Jurgen Klopp. Mm-hmm. These are the guys that are like, they get to go out on their own terms. Pretty much everyone else is getting fired and having that
Diego
happen.
Diego Simeone. Yeah. I don't like him.
But sure, but no,
he's a fine person. The way
no, I know what you like, mean.
He's another one
you
of those guys.
Team.
I just don't like his team. So,
yeah. But yeah, he's not a guy who's getting fired anytime soon.
No.
You know, and that's, but none of those guys were leaving those jobs, or in Jurgen Klopp's case, they asked and he said, no, thanks.
Yeah.
So
don't blame him. And I don't blame him for that.
I think the
good news, because I also had people, you know, reach out to me and they're like, how should I feel about this? I'm like, well, I said the same exact thing as you. And I said, no matter the results in which he has had before, they did a 180. They did it. The U.S. Soccer Federation did a complete 180. They hired a person with the highest level coaching experience you can get. I mean, coached a couple of stints in the Premier League, coached in Ligue 1, was over there with PSG, had some of the best players in the world that he was coaching, like top 1% of 1% of the guys that he was coaching on a daily basis. Also, tactically, it is very different from a Greg Berhalter, because if you watch any of Ponch at any of his stops, I mean, it is a high press. Like, that's what they do. They like to create chaos. They like to turn the ball around and like to spin it on a forward attack. So, like, I think theoretically, we always talk about coaches and how there's a huge pendulum swing. And I'm sorry for using like an American football analogy. It's like, if your head coach is a defensive guy,
yes,
right? Like, you are going to if he gets fired, you're going to pendulum swing to a very offensive minded, open game kind of a coach. Like, that's who you're looking at. Think of the difference between Caleb Porter and Wilfried Nancy, right? Like, that's the same kind of idea. Like, Caleb, what he did here was sit at the back. They would do all these different things and make sure they may not score a lot of goals, but they're definitely not giving up goals very easy. And then you go to Wilf, who they don't give up goals very easily, but they score a lot of goals and they play a little more dangerous. So I think theoretically and like idealistically, they didn't underwhelm with a hire. They swung.
Oh, they took a swing.
They took a big swing. And the like philosophical differences between the two coaches are very different.
Yeah, this is what I think U.S. soccer needed. You can't try to limp this thing along and hope for incremental growth before the 2026 World Cup. The big swing, meaning I don't think you or I have any delusions that U.S. national team is just going to show up and be a top four team in the world in 2026. Like, as far as their accolades and ranking.
Sure.
They might play that way in this tournament. We have no idea.
Yeah.
But they have between now and 2026 – to build up to a level where they could go out and shock some people and not just be like a team that gets out of the group and, eh, that's fine. Like a team that is dangerous and becomes one of the threats in this tournament.
I think that they're, obviously, they're going to be more dangerous under Mauricio Pochettino than they would be under Greg Berhalter just because of the style of play.
Right.
And I think you could have done that with really any manager that had a different philosophical difference, because you do, I mean, you do have the guys. I mean, you do have a very talented roster. Maybe it's not like to the standard of, like, you know, let's say England or France or Brazil or Argentina, but like in a one-off game.
Well, this is right. I look at it as management of style and your ability to manage a game in those moments is so huge. And if you're able to get better tactics, then the players that are on the chessboard become a little less, the differences between them become a little less significant, right? If you get great tactics and someone who can actually help you play in a style that will make it a little bit harder for that other team. Now, granted, it's going to be some big risk, big reward thing, because if you're doing that high press against teams like France or Brazil, I mean, you could find yourself in a world of hurt very quickly. But like I, the goals to me for this U.S. national team, I don't know where you feel about this, but I feel the goals are you need to be playing like a top five, top 10 team in the world by spring of 2026. You need to have as many guys healthy as you can, and you need to have consistent lineups for the majority of the next 2 years as soon as you can. Like, Ponch needs to take the next 6 to 8 months whenever they get these games. But I don't want to see 75 people called in for national team camps. I want you to keep the same core of guys as much as they're able to come in. That we need to establish that, and then that's where I want to see him tweak. I don't want to see, oh, we're trying to figure out if Ricardo Pepi can do it or not. It's like, well, you should know what he is very quickly. Maybe Ponch loves him and is like, that's my nine. Or maybe he says, I want nothing to do with him. But figure that out. I'm saying figure that out in the next couple months and then roll with that. And let's have that plan going forward and not sit here for better part of 18 months going, well, we're going to try everything and throw everything at the wall. No, I trust him to be able to figure out what he has and then coach those guys up.
I've got a little bit of a longer leash because I think he's really good at developing talent, right? I mean, he's been known as like he's an academy guy and he's good, pretty good with like his scouting eye. So I think that I would give a little bit of a longer leash because I would like to see some of these guys get a crack at camp that maybe haven't gotten a shot before. To me, I would say summer 2025, like then you have 1 year.
That's fair.
I think if you get to summer 2025, you spend these next 10 months or whatever it is, figuring out the guys that you need, who's going to be on, you know, obviously your 11, who's going to be on your 18, who's going to be on the full squad, opening it up, seeing who can compete, and then by next summer saying, all right, guys, we have a pretty good idea, maybe the last 3-4 spots on the roster. Yeah. We don't know who we're taking, but here's the run up. Here's the tune up. When we get into, do we have a big summer tournament next year?
Yes.
Like Confederations Cup
Cup or something.
Yeah. It's something weird. Cause they do a lead
like the preview kind of thing. Right.
So I think by that time next year, it should be, all right, let's go.
You need like this team. I guess what I'm saying. Cause I think we're saying the same thing, but like Christian Pulisic, we know
also
he is,
interesting sidebar with that whole thing at Chelsea.
That's right. That dynamic's going to be interesting, but they need to sort that out and then decide where do you see Christian Pulisic deploying best and then work on getting Christian Pulisic to see it that way.
Yeah.
You need to work on Tyler Adams. Here's what I think you do best, and here's where I want you to play. Like, those are your established guys, Weston McKennie, et cetera. Those guys, you figure that you get all that sorted. And then you look to your Josh Sargents, your Haji Wrights, all these different guys and say, now who fills in next to Christian Pulisic? Yes. Who do I want to see? And I can see having auditions in those spots, but I just want to see someone now develop. I want to see Christian Pulisic get developed.
Yeah.
That's what I think Pochettino can do. He can still, maybe that's a bad example because of their prior history, but like, but you know what I mean? Like Tyler Adams has room to grow.
Yeah.
Weston McKennie has room to grow. And I do think someone like Ponch, which is different
Valerian
than Greg
Balogun
Berhalter,
has room to grow.
Oh, 100%. But these guys are talented.
Yeah.
And I feel like if Ponch comes in and says, Tyler Adams, it is not acceptable that you show up to camps like out of shape. That's just not going to happen anymore. And if it does, I have other considerations. I'm going to start figuring things out. Like, he's going to have, I think he, if he is able to come in and say stuff like that, the amount of respect that's going to be for a guy like him mm-hmm. compared to Cherundolo or Berhalter or some of these other guys they've done in the past, it's just night and day different because of his resume and what he's done. Now, these players also have resumes. They've also played for some of these guys. Like you said, Pulisic's played for him. But some of these guys are going to look at him and go, wow, I don't want to screw this up because I think that guy is a great manager and I want to come in and prove myself to him. That is just different than how they probably felt about Greg Berhalter. They wanted to succeed for their own selves, but there's something extra about, you know, all their teammates are texting them saying like, oh, I see your national team hired Ponch. Yeah, you're gonna have a fun time playing for him. You know, like they're gonna yeah. whatever they think, people are gonna be talking about the hire. This is gonna be a big thing. They're not gonna be laughed at because it's like, oh, you get to go play for some guy from MLS that none of us have heard of. Like their teammates all over the world.
Irv Renard.
Well, that would have been one I would have loved to see, as you know.
I know.
I just feel like the level of respect that they're going to have for him yeah. just as a baseline, and then he'll have to earn the rest. It's not like you just come in and instantly say whatever you want. Everyone's going to fall in line. These guys have all played for very big-time managers all across the world. But now that's for your national team. I don't think you need a system so much. I think you need a guy who can get players to play better in moments. And I think he is more suited to that than Greg Berhalter was personally.
It was a good swing. By the U.S.
Yeah, I'll give them that. I didn't expect anything like this. I thought they were just going to do some drawn-out process and then hire Steve Cherundolo.
Yeah.
So I was actually pleasantly surprised when I saw this news.
Same.
Very good about that. Premier League, it started up. So what do you want to cover there? Your team obviously got the job done first
week. We're back.
Back, baby. You ready to go?
Yeah. Super pumped.
How you feeling? The overall, just the tenor of the season for you.
I think that they should be fine.
right.
They brought in some guys, and then there's injuries, right? Like Rasmus Højlund's going to be out. Luke Shaw again is out, again for the thousandth time, and ever since he had that gnarly leg break, like he can't stay on the field. I think Casemiro looked really good in their first game. Like I know towards the end of the year he got worn down. He's played a lot of minutes. I thought he looked fantastic. I don't know what they're going to – I think this is a question maybe heading into next year, and this year is a big year for Marcus Rashford. Like, what's that going to look like? Joshua Zirkzee made his debut, right? Comes on as a substitute, scores the game-winning goal. So, like, that was a great debut at Old Trafford. They just don't have the firepower. They don't have the horsepower. It's really for me to challenge for the league. I think that – in a great situation, like best case scenario this year, they can push for 28 weeks, be in third place and like hold on to third. I think that would be like dream scenario. Arsenal and City are so far gone from the rest of the pack right now that I have a hard time comprehending anybody competing with those two teams, but that would be like best case scenario for me is a Champions League spot. Like that's where I'm at. Where I'm at.
Totally understood. I think that's a very reasonable take from a Manchester United fan to say, if we
come
can just
back
go for third
in December when they're top of the league, I say title charges on.
Yeah, my guys, Aston Villa, got it done against West Ham and they're lid lifter. So that was nice to see 2-1 win there for them. Overall, rest of the Premier League, I mean, we'll have time to kind of sort through all this as the weeks go on. Nothing too major that I think you can take away from the first week of the season.
Arsenal won. Liverpool won, City won, Chelsea lost, Tottenham bottled it.
Oh, Chelsea played City.
Yeah.
Jamie Vardy back.
Back, baby.
Back.
The legend of Leicester.
Man, he lets you know too, doesn't he?
And Big Ange on the sideline, just hands on the knees, bending over. Jamie Vardy pointing to his shirt saying, I've won one trophy, you've won zero.
Oh, man.
He does the two fingers in the air as the basically their version of the double birds.
I did feel for the Tottenham fans because I'm like, well, no, but here's why. Because I feel like the Tottenham fans, it's like, of course, that's who it's going to happen to.
Yeah.
It's not like he didn't score that goal against City and just be like, yeah, and like, look at me. He's doing it to Tottenham fans where he then can be like, and I have won a title and you bastards haven't. Like, it's just like Jamie Vardy. Already had it queued up,
yes.
And the fan base that probably didn't deserve it was them.
What did we do to you, Jamie? We didn't do anything to you.
They probably did something.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. It's like when a guy like hits a home run in Major League Baseball and you see him stare down the pitcher. And,
well, that game.
And then they'll go back and like, they'll say 3 years ago, this happened and this guy hasn't forgotten about it.
That
and it's
game
like, there's probably
so
something we're missing.
Dominant. Like Spurs just kicked Lester's ass.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Jamie Vardy scores and it's like, Lester might get two here and like win the game. And then like, I mean, it was as dominant as a, how, whatever minute it was when Jamie Vardy scored that goal, I'm like, how have Tottenham not scored like four or five on them? And then Jamie Vardy scores that goal, and it's like, now we might win.
It's
yeah,
crazy.
It's great to see him back in the Premier League. Yeah. Ipswich, I watched some of the Ipswich Liverpool game. That, I'll tell you what, that's
Ipswich
gonna be
gave him a game.
That's gonna be a tough place to go and play.
Like, I love their stadium,
and
yeah.
I don't know if it was just because it was day one, it was Liverpool, but like that place, I felt like watching it, I'm like that was kind of a hornet's nest.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not picking Ipswich as a team to root for or anything.
Put them on the list.
No. I'm telling you, their jerseys are sharp. I got the navy blue.
And the little like castle there.
With the pinstripes and all that. I like their jersey a lot. I think it's very cool. So I'm just saying, if you see me wearing an Ipswich jersey, just don't say anything. just go, oh, it's a fashion choice. It might be a fashion choice. Actually, you won't see me wearing any of these jerseys anytime soon. Because every time I go to order one, they're like, oh, sorry, mate. All our jerseys are on back order. And you're like, what?
You just released
it's the
them.
Start of the season. How are all these? It's like, did you want an extra small? Or maybe an extra, extra small? We've got that. I don't know why Michael Caine is apparently the guy. Let me tell you right now. If you want a jersey, they don't have them. They're gone.
He's currently the salesman for Ipswich. What? Michael Caine. That's
no,
what he's
but
doing
like I went
time.
To look for my Sunderland guys in the second division. I went to go get their jersey. And they're like, sorry. Well, they have the second one. You can get the second one, which is blue. And it has the like a
yeah,
vintage
you just want
crest.
The red, you want the red?
I want a red and white striped Sunderland jersey, their home jersey, the one that every bit of their marketing shows you 90% of the time. That's the one I want. And they're like, sorry, these are all gone. Did you want one for a child? We have that. Other or a dog? We can get you a dog jersey. Do we want one for an actual human-sized human?
No.
Or a large-sized human in my case? Sorry, we don't have those.
Everton bad also. Like, really
Man,
bad.
I feel bad. I don't know why I feel for... I don't know why, like, Tottenham and Everton make me have empathy for them. But they do. Especially Everton. I mean, probably with at least... Well, I'm trying to think. At least with Everton, right? I mean, there's been multiple U.S. national teamers that have played for them that I have some connection to. I guess Tottenham has the same thing. And maybe that's why I feel a little bit of some kind of way about that. But, yeah, I just picture Landon Donovan running around in that jersey and doing great things for them. And now I see where they've fallen, and I think this is awful. I hope they don't. Yet again, they're going to be on relegation
watch.
They've
been fighting it for years.
They're going to be on relegation watch yet again.
For years they've been fighting it. I don't know what Chelsea's doing. The amount of players that they like have on their squad and the business that Todd Bailey is doing.
That number
like,
that
I
you told
don't.
Me, what was, it was something to the effect of the amount of
contract
years under
years.
Contract years. Yeah.
So just to give you an example, like let's say that, and I want to say they just signed Joao Felix. Like,
yeah.
Okay. For 6 years. That makes a ton of sense.
The numbers you're going to throw out are like, if let's say you, if you're counting, what is it? 23 people to a roster.
Yeah.
Of those, if let's say every one of them was signed for 2 years, that would be what, 60 or 46 years under contract.
Yeah,
they would
so
have.
Like contract years, the amount of years that you have under contract for teams like players in your senior squad.
Yeah.
So just to give you an idea, Everton have 47 contract years, and they are the lowest in the Premier League. So like all of their players combined. They have 47 years of contract. It's probably a good bit.
Probably
of business.
I was gonna say probably pretty smart by them to be like, you know what, we may have to bail on a lot of these dudes soon or re-up with some better players, so let's not keep them on long contracts.
Like Arsenal have 62 contract years. Liverpool have 64 contract years. And then you start to get
so that,
like
that does show you can be one of the worst teams in the Premier League and have low contract years, or one of the best
correct.
And have low contract years. So there's no rhyme or reason to like this makes you good or bad.
Yeah, none. Yeah. Like,
it's just
not a correlation of like
it's
dollars
just
spent.
A stat. Yes.
It's just a weird thing. Aston Villa, your guys have 72 contract years into the future. Manchester United have 82. They're in fifth place. The team in second place would be Spurs with 97 contract years. So they've got a lot of contracts for a lot of different years in there that they're responsible for. Chelsea, Again, Spurs have 97. That is good for second best.
Okay.
Chelsea have 191 contract years. What is your strategy? You are buying players. I don't even know. I'm looking at their roster. I'm like, I don't even know half of these guys and half of the guys that they did buy. I'm like, oh, he'll be a starter.
Is there something
Where is Nkunku playing at? You just signed Palmer to another deal. What the hell is Todd Bailey doing? What are you doing?
I don't understand. But didn't they just sign Cole Palmer to like a
9-year deal or it runs until like 2032.
Okay. He's good.
He's
don't
great.
Get me wrong,
he's
but
great.
Like
it's cold Palmer to you.
Cold, that's right. I know. He's shivering. He's cold. I've seen it. It's good. He's very talented. Yeah, I feel bad because we went to the Manchester City Chelsea game. We enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That was here at the Shoe. And my oldest before the game was like, I'm a Chelsea fan. I've decided I'm rooting for Chelsea. And then they got throttled. And then, you know, now I've just realized. And then they opened the season, same game,
mm-hmm.
same result. And then I thought, you know, I probably should have steered her away from Chelsea. But, I mean, again, I'm remembering Didier Drogba. I'm remembering, you know, Frank Lampard. I'm remembering, like, the Chelsea that has been and could continue to be again. Who knows? They may be
awesome
this year.
Maybe out of those guys that they have under contract, that 11 of them will fit together.
Well, it's just an insane amount of time to have guys under contract. Now, if they all turn out to be, like, Liverpool was in 2019.
They're not.
No, but if let's say they become that suddenly, then now this would be good. There have to be some contracts there that are like, that guy's just done with soccer, but we're still paying him and he's still under contract.
Like Raheem Sterling. Like they don't know what they're going to do with him.
True enough, right, yeah. I mean, that's a move that on paper sounded good many years ago when they made it, but it's, yeah, he's not the same player anymore.
I have no clue what the strategy is. None.
I guess the strategy maybe for Todd Bailey is find people who can coach your teams that then you can get rid of that then can then coach national teams for the United States.
Emma Hayes and Ponch.
Well, thank them.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them.
Thank you for saving U.S. soccer, Todd Bailey.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah.
And last thing we'll get to, speaking of U.S. soccer, Middlesbrough.
Add him to the list.
Add him to the list. And you know what? I'm good. Another jersey I have to go buy. And I usually don't buy player jerseys. I will buy an Aiden Morris jersey. It's only been a couple matches for him. The Middlesbrough fans, like the first week, it was so great to see the people on Twitter getting highlighted from Middlesbrough saying, this Aiden Morris guy, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
What is going on? This is amazing. This lad from America is tearing it up. Oh, my gosh. I love this kid. Like, they were all thrilled with him the first week. By week two, we have got, because they start a week before the Premier League, we've got a song.
I can't pull it up on this computer.
It's all right.
I can't pull
it up. But just know that they've already got a song for him.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for him that he's getting the love he deserves over. Because, I mean, you know, the Crew fans showed him love and rightfully so. And our love will always be there for him. But this is a guy now who, you know, has wanted to go to England. He's talked about it openly. That's been his goal. He's now in England and immediately is making an impact for his club, and they're seeing how good he can be.
He just runs the whole like.
Just wait till he hits one from outside of the box, and they'll lose their ever loving minds. I can't. It's like when your children find out about a beloved show that you watched as a child, and then they're like, "Oh hey, tell me more about this Mighty Morphin
Pulp
Power
Fiction.
Rangers." Well, I don't know. Letting Willie watch Pulp Fiction at a young age.
Why not?
I'm just saying, once your kids discover things that you already like, and you're like, oh, yeah, hey, you like that too? I can tell you all about it. I've been knowing that thing. That's how I feel about Aiden Morris.
You want to watch the game with Dad? Yeah, that sounds great.
I mean, I just want to take a trip to Middlesbrough right now and show up at a bar and just be like, oh, yeah, you like Aiden Morris? I can tell you all about him.
That's my guy.
You want me to tell you about the time he won a MLS Cup?
Twice?
As a 20-year-old?
Yeah.
Just showed up in, like, his third game ever and shut down one of the best offenses in the
Remember
league.
Remember when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Mud Dogs won the Boyben Bowl?
Boyben Bowl. That's right. All right. That's it for us. We will have plenty more to talk about next week. Thanks again for listening. And, of course, as always, tweet us at BoneBeamUnited. We will see you next time.